In the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. You know, in that Jacob story, we heard as part of a much larger story. In fact, a week ago we heard Jacob, this same fellow that had the dream today, cheat his brother out of his inheritance. And what will follow this story is Jacob gets in a wrestling match. Turns out it was with God. Well, I want to tell you that having the text that we have today, this one from the Hebrew Bible and that gospel with the weeds and the wheat, I've been wrestling with that text, those two texts. And I've been trying to make sense out of it because I'll be honest with you, there's some things in there I don't like. And so I'm sorry that you have to sit here and watch me work this out. But that's just the way sometimes we have to do it. We've got to work all this out together. I trust that you are praying for me to get out of this alive. I mentioned at the 8 o'clock service, I felt a little bit like when I finally had gotten it done, I felt like that I'd been packing for a trip. And my suitcase was open on the bed, and I was taking clothes, and I was throwing them in the suitcase, and then I shut it. And I just took scissors and trimmed off everything that was hanging around on the outside. So I just hope what's left in this suitcase makes some sense after we get it all said and done. Jacob, the dreamer in today's first lesson, is a very shady character. Frederick Buechner, in his delightful little book, Particular Treasures, A Biblical Who's Who, has this description of Jacob. The book of Genesis makes no attempt to conceal the fact that Jacob was, among other things, a crook. Twice he cheated his lame-brained brother Esau out of what was coming to him. At least one time he took advantage of his old father Isaac's blindness and played him for a sucker. He outdid his double-crossing father-in-law Laban by conning him out of most of his livestock. And later on, when Laban was looking the other way, by walking off not only with both of Laban's daughters, but with about everything else that wasn't nailed down, including his household gods. And it just goes on and on. So today's lectionary has this stairway to the stars dream, I'll call it, about good old irascible Jacob, and places that next to a gospel parable from Matthew that is known among scholars as the wheat and the tares, or the wheat and the darnel. Tares and darnel both refer to a type of rye grass which resembles wheat until it's fully grown. Then the difference is very noticeable, which does make the owner's instruction make some sense, doesn't it? To simplify for our purposes today, we're just going to call it wheat and weeds. So we have these contrasting lessons from the Hebrew Bible and from the New Testament gospel according to Matthew. So the question for me to start with is there a relationship somehow between these two? And so let's just see what we can work out and find out if there may be. Now about that gospel, you just heard it. A man plants good seed in his field, but while he's sleeping, someone else, an enemy, comes by and plants weeds. His servants, seeing the weeds, ask if they should pull them up. And the man says, no, for if you do, you'll pull up also the wheat. So just let the weeds grow and the wheat grow until the harvest. And at harvest time, I'll tell the reapers, collect the weeds first, bind them in bundles to be burned, but gather the wheat and put it in my barn." Then the writer of Matthew has the disciples, this is the part that bothers me, has the disciples ask Jesus to explain the parable. And what we get is an allegory, an allegorical interpretation, which talks about the good seed, wheat, being children of the kingdom, and the bad seed, weeds, being children of the devil, who sowed the bad seed. It's your basic good people, bad people scenario. Now, just to give you a little breather, I'll change. We were down at the jail a couple of weeks ago. You know, the jail has in it, it's a very large jail, has in it a lot of people, a large number of people. Many of the residents at the jail are addicts and alcoholics who've gotten into trouble. Many at the jail are seriously mentally ill people. Some at the jail are homeless people who just every now and then get into some trouble and end up in jail. And I suppose that some in the jail are awaiting trial and may be innocent until they are proven guilty. There are those, too, who've committed serious crimes, robbery, larceny, violent crimes even involving guns and weapons. You know what? They all look the same in those jail suits and flip-flops. You can't tell them apart, just like the wheat and the weeds. These are they who have failed in our culture. They show outward signs of not measuring up to the standards of success and the good life which many of us so much enjoy. It occurs to me that we can and often do easily make the transition from equating success and economic status with good and equating failure and poverty and certain afflictions with bad. Something to think about. Just saying. I, along with two members of St. Paul's, who happen to be here this morning, Debbie Clark, Elizabeth Allen, now you're outed. I returned yesterday from a conference sponsored by the Duke Divinity School. The name of the conference was Reimagining Health Collaborative 2017, : The Church and Mental Health. You're going to be hearing a lot about the work we did over the last several days. You're hearing the work I did the last several days at night when they went to bed. Yeah. So, this is something this community is going to be very involved in. But everybody in attendance at that conference, and there were churches from all denominations and all over the state, and some people from out of state as well. One thing everybody had in common as they thought about the task before us was the concern that we all had about the stigmatizing of persons with behavioral health problems. It's a little like that story in the Bible about the wheat and the weeds. Bad people have the mental health problems. Good people don't have them. Bad people are alcoholics. Good people, they don't have that. Oh, yeah. One of the tragedies when you start stigmatizing people, when you start avoiding people because of whatever condition they have, when you start being derisive and critical of folks because they have a problem, in some area, like behavioral health. One of the problems is that the tendency of the people who have that issue is to make them want to withdraw, is to make them feel like they have a secret that cannot be shared and it's bad. And so they withdraw and they isolate and they self-loathe in that isolation. And we, by labeling them weeds, have been the cause of it. Which brings me back to the parable. It seems to me that the explanation, the allegory that the writer of Matthew gives, which labels the weed as children of evil to be burned and discarded, what occurs to me is that so often when what we would really like to do with our homeless brothers and sisters, our criminal brothers and sisters, the addicts and the alcoholics, we'd like to throw them away and burn them too. This parable can be very, very dangerous if it's misused or it's misunderstood. The text we have today in the gospel is in two sections. It's the parable, then it's the allegory and the explanation. And the text says that the disciples approach Jesus and ask him to explain what the parable means. And the writer has Jesus oblige them in a result that of the allegory where everything is explained. And the tone, and this is important, the tone of the allegory is apocalyptic. It really is concerning the end of time. Now, don't get me wrong. I know that this is a parable of judgment. And in a parable of judgment, the most important question of all is, who is the judge? The message is not one of making judgments of others so that we can root out the less than perfect in our midst. The message of the parable actually is about being patient and tolerant of others and ourselves. And that's important. Because you see, the job of judge has already been filled. And as some might say, it ain't us. We ain't the judge. And indeed, the one who plants and directs the harvest, the Lord God will be the judge. But I do think from this explanation that many misconceptions arise, including my own initial misconceptions, that this is a teaching about good people and bad people. And the problem with this is it too simply separates good folks from bad folks. The issue, it seems to me, is that we can grab onto that image and find ourselves judging and condemning others. They are weeds and we are wheat. Just that simple. We are saved, they are lost. We are good, they are bad. We are wheat, they are weeds. One of my references says, one should never press a parable too far, because comparisons are not parallel at every point. In the garden, grain remains grain, and weeds remain weeds from seed time to harvest. In human life, weeds can change. You hear that, honey? Weeds can change. God causes growth. In many hearts we might have judged as weeds can respond to God's Spirit surprising us, as is the case in all parables. We can look at this from a variety of angles and see many possibilities. We can see ourselves both as weeds and wheat. Now, I have to say to you that some days I'm a lot more weedy than I am wheaty. They say to me, you should eat your Wheaties. But thank the Lord, it's not our task. It's not our task. It is not our task to separate saints from sinners. That's the judge's job. and we are not to judge. That's something God will do in God's own time. Jacob. Y'all remember Jacob? I talked about him a while ago. Jacob. In today's lesson, Jacob realizes from that dream he had that even though he knows that he has been a scoundrel and a cheat, what he discovers is that God loves him, and God has visited him in a dream to reassure Jacob that he is loved. And he promises Jacob great things. And so Jacob wakes up and he realizes that where he slept in an ordinary field with a rock for a pillow, that that place has become holy ground. And as an aside, I want you to know that two weeks ago in that jail in Forsyth County, where everybody looked the same, weeds, however you want to label it, when we celebrated communion together, we were in holy ground. Might have bars on the window, but it's holy. Ain't no bars keep God out. Holy ground. Now, quoting from that previous source, the challenge for us is to try and figure out a way to trust God, to trust that God actually knows what God is doing, and to trust that when confronted with the gospel's call for kindness and forbearance on one side and the world's call for revenge and vindication, labeling people weeds, on the other, that responding to the gospel, kindness, forbearance, compassion, will always be the better choice. Thiem Perkins, New Testament scholar, in her book on the parables of Jesus, has an interesting notion. It's this. The householder, who may well be God, sows good seed. Evil, represented by an enemy, sows weeds. Both weeds and wheat come up together, and the harvest and the weeds are bundled to be burned as fuel, and the wheat is harvested to become food. Both the weeds and the wheat are used for productive outcomes. Evil, the enemy, is foiled. God wins. The weeds have a great purpose. God apparently uses weedy people all the time to accomplish God's purposes. He used Abraham. And look at Abraham's story. Man, he was a character and not a nice man. God uses David, even though he was a great king, was really a sorry person in many respects. Had a man killed in order that he could get the man's wife. He was bad in many ways. God uses Peter when the chips are down, lets his Lord down and denies him three times. A weedy thing to do. And then there's our own patron, St. Paul. We got his statue here, who was in the business of rounding up Christians to have them put to death when God decides he got another job for Paul, something more productive in this world. Have you figured out yet that if God can use a Jacob and an Abraham, a Peter and a Paul, that God can use you? Weeds and all. I'll close with this from Buechner. Luckily for Jacob, God doesn't love people because of who they are, but because of who God is. Amen.